Hello, Domo. Thank you for joining us.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, I'm so happy to have you here.
Yo, happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sorry, my hair's like kind of wet and shit, and it's I'm a mess. You know, Tuesdays. So
looking stylish. So now I have a very important question to ask. Where did you get your name Domo from?
You ready? It's kind of cringy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Tell me about it.
So honestly, I kind of just jacked it from someone's tweet. Like, you know how there's like, it's a meme for Japanglish, like, oh, Domo arigato things, or I don't know like what other words people use. But yeah, I kind of like jacked it from someone's tweet. And then I guess the Domo part kind of just stuck with everybody. And it is like the first part of like my username. And yeah, here we are, I guess. So
I see. I keep wanting to say Domoku.
I mean, you can go for it. I mean, no one's really holding you back.
Mm-hmm. So then tell us what you do with the creator scene.
I don't even know what I do like half the time, to be honest with you, Vicky. So, I mean, most people know me for doing VTuber interviews, I guess. I started off back in almost a year now. So I want to say like 10-ish months ago. Really, I started out watching like the bigger VTubers, like people from Hololive or Niji Sanji. Mm-hmm. One day I just decided like, hey, you know, me and my friends kind of just thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we talked to a VTuber for a change instead of just watching them on the screen, you know, kind of an added layer of interaction. And I think we put out a tweet, some like, hey, like if you know any VTuber friends or whatever, hit us up and we'll put you on stream and we'll talk to you. And I think it was like me. There weren't a lot of people at the time. I want to say like 50-ish people or something like that. It was just like a group of friends, really. Core group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we got a VTuber on and it was like, you know, super, super fun. So we tried to do it again next week. And, you know, here we are now, like 10 months down the road, kind of still doing this thing. So it's still really fun.
Wow. What got you motivated to continue to keep streaming? Because you said 10 months now. So do you actually interview someone every week?
So here's the thing. I kind of slowed down going into 2021 just because I was doing them at such a rapid succession. I think sometime, like I was doing them like every once in a while for like the first month. And then I think starting from like September to all the way till the end of the year, I was doing like two a week back to back. And
wow.
It was really fun, but it was also really taxing, like making a trailer, making an overlay individually, like something new for everybody that comes on. And I guess I kind of got a little burnt out leading into like February of this year. And so I kind of just slowed down. I spaced them out. I'd worked on some other like really big projects also involving VTubers. And I guess my main thing was just trying to switch up the pace. So
I wanted to ask you, I saw some of your trailers, your VTuber trailers. They look so dope. Like, how long does it take for you to actually make those?
It depends. Before, they used to take me really long, like a full like day or like 8 to 10-12 hours of editing.
Wow.
Just for one single trailer and have to make another one. But I quickly found a format for myself. And on average now, I want to say like maybe 4 to 6-ish hours a trailer, maybe a bit less, like 5 hours is like a good point. But yeah, like every now and again, I would try to switch up the formula, but for the most part, it's like a 5 average. Per stream. Also, yo, Apache, what's up? One of my people.
You're getting interviewed. The interviewer becoming the interviewee.
I know, yo. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of like, I'm out of my zone.
Out of your zone? Does this feel kind of weird? You're kind of flipped on the other side now. Tables have turned.
Sort of. I mean, I like getting a chance to talk every once in a while, but for the most part, my forte is like getting people to talk to me, you know?
Yeah. You know what? You guys, you should put Domo on his spot. This is like one of those rare chances you get to ask him like crazy questions. He can't really know, right? He's
ask
like, no
away.
Pressure.
Ask away. You know what? This is a once in a lifetime, guys. Ask me anything. I'll answer whatever you guys want.
For reals?
Fuck it. Sure, let's do it.
Okay. Back to your trailer. I believe it, like 5 hours because a lot of video editing is involved. All of that, but you just such a good like dynamic job with all the transitions and the overlays. So it looks so professional. Did you like learn that all yourself, or
you? Thank you. Yeah, pretty much. Like when I started streaming in August, I had literally no idea how to stream. I made something. It took me like super fucking long, like like another whole day for a really simple overlay. I didn't really know what I was doing. I kind of made stuff on the fly. But I think now I have a better sense of like what I want an overlay to look like, or like a stinger transition. So, but yeah, initially when I started, it's, and even till now, it's like all self-taught. Also, yeah, what a nugget.
Who's your favorite interview, Farsify?
Favorite interview? I want to say it's probably between Lyrica, who I interviewed, wow, like a really long time ago now, back in October. Either Lyrica or Pick Me, I want to say. Pick Me was obviously like one of my peak moments of this whole Domo thing. Like from the very beginning, I already set out one of my goals to be like, all right, I'm gonna interview Pick Me for sure. And then it kind of, you know, here we are. So
did you find it kind of, I guess, challenging sometimes to reach out to VTubers to interview, or you're just like, you know, let's just do it, you know, shoot your shot and you just do it? Or do you kind of get scared? Or
It's weird. It's kind of weird that it's become more of a challenge now. So initially I was really gung-ho. One technique I kind of found to, you know, network myself or whatever is, like at the end of an interview, I'd be like, hey, that was great. That was super fun. Before we go, do you have any recommendations for who you think might be great on the show? And it kind of like opens the door to like meeting new people. And also like, you know, it's kind of giddy for people to be invited to an interview like me. Like, you know, it's, I was like, oh, yo, Vicky's inviting me to interview. This is awesome. You know, and I feel like other people are like that too when they get invited. So that's kind of one tactic that I used. And it was, I actually think it was relatively easier before. Now it feels like, I think, because there's so many VTuber agencies and stuff now, and there's so many things that you can or can't do. It's like almost a little bit difficult to get certain VTubers now. Like, for example, like VShoujo, obviously a really big agency now. Initially, I got Zentreya on before, and it was like a snap. She was like, okay, I'm down, let's do it. But now it's like, oh, let me talk to management. Oh, you know, I'll get like 2 weeks to for them to get back to you and so and so.
Oh, yeah, that's all that red tape now. I think since you've kind of reached your like dream VTubers you wanted to interview, are there any like dream VTubers you want to interview this coming year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a little unfortunate, but one of my other really bigger goals, like it was the ultimatum for me, was to have Kiryu Koko on the show at some point. And unfortunately, she's graduating, but she was like one of my, I would say that she was like my main inspiration for getting into VTubers. Like, she was the very first VTuber that I ever watched. And her energy was kind of like, everybody feeds off her energy. Her energy is so positive and outgoing. And that's kind of what I was leading forward towards with the streams as well. If not for Kiryu Koko, I'd say, I mean, the new wave of Niji Sanji English girls, they're all a really, really interesting cast. And I would love for them to, you know, have them on. Finana is actually following me back, so you know, I haven't brought up the courage to ask her quite just yet. Usually it's kind of like, oh, we get the follow back and then let the water settle a little bit. So I'm probably gonna do that and then maybe jump the gun in a bit, but you know, who knows.
Would she ever entertain like interviewing like a huge together, or was that kind of too chaotic? Are you more with the one-on-one?
Wait, sorry, say that again.
Would you entertain like interviewing like a huge group of people and kind of have like a kind of like a chat around the dinner table? Or would that be kind of too chaotic and more of a one-on-one?
Like style? Like multiple people at once?
Yeah.
To
get them to interact with each other.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I've thought about it at one point, and there's nothing really stopping me from doing that, aside from I know people, if they like have an interview, it feels better for them to be brought on individually because it kind of, you know, makes them feel more special. They feel like they're right. Featured, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but I actually really haven't given it too much thought, you know, aside from that, like maybe in the future, like who knows?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think it would be interesting though to like have multiple people on. I think it would be chaotic, but I think that's kind of the fun and everything, you know?
The entertainment factor basically, right?
Yeah. Things get chaotic. People, you know, banter and stuff.
So then now here's the real money question. Would you ever want to be a VTuber yourself? What's with that long pause?
I've thought about it and I've warmed up to the idea a little bit more, I would say. I mean, initially I didn't want to because I thought that, I thought that a really big appeal for the idea and the show itself, was that I'm a real person interviewing VTubers, and I was kind of like the gateway between regular viewers and the VTubers themselves. I'm kind of like the bridge, right? So if I turn into a VTuber myself, I would kind of lose that touch or that, you know, that charm of the stream. But I mean, over time, I still sort of feel that way, but also it's a little bit of FOMO. Like, everybody's got a nice model and, you know, everybody's doing stuff with their other VTuber friends. You kind of feel a little like left out. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to get into that. So that's like the only thing that's really pulling me from going into VTuber. And for the most part, I feel like I would at some point, not going to lie. I feel like I would, but I'm tackling another really, really big project right now, involving VTubers. And it's admittedly going to cost me a lot of resources, like time and money. So yeah, I guess that's like the main reason holding me back.
So then if you were a VTuber, what kind of design would you want?
What kind of design?
Ah, like, would you be like a girl, a boy? Cat boy, cat girl, shota, mature, like, you know, the character design.
What
floats your boat?
I think, okay, I mean, first of all, technically I'm like an honorary VTuber. I had a viewer actually give me a model for free, like as a fan art thing, of my, it's like a little dog, VTuber of my PFP. And she was like, hey, I made you an art piece. And I was like, oh, cool. And she comes back 2 days later and she's like, hey, so I rigged the art piece and it's a VTuber model. I was like, here you go. And I was like, oh fuck. Well, thanks. So, I do have that, shout out to Mythic Sites. She's super great.
That's cool. But
like in terms of an original design, I think I would want to go for someone that's like kind of cool, borderline edgy looking, I guess. I don't know. I've given it some thought and really I'm all over the place. Like I've had a couple of VTuber concept designs with a friend, and like at one point I was like a demon. One point I was like this humanoid robot thing, and I'm just too indecisive, but I mean, I'll turn that question to you. Have you ever thought of it? I'm sure you have at one point.
I have. It's kind of, I guess, from my end, it's kind of weird because I'm a cosplayer. So then originally when I thought a cosplayer being a VTuber kind of defeats the purpose of my branding as being a cosplayer, right? Because the whole point is being a cosplaying. But a lot of my peers actually started doing VTubing, even though they're cosplayers.
So
I'm like, okay, so they kind of switch back and forth between streaming as themselves, like IRL, and also like as a VTuber. And sometimes they kind of separate that personality thing. Oh, I am this VTuber's mechanic or whatever it is, right? So that they kind of have that immersion. I've been thinking about that, but I honestly just recently got back into streaming 2 weeks ago. So I'm still trying to figure out my setup. I literally just got this mic stand like 2 weeks ago for this. Yeah. My green screen is still coming in. So I think I would entertain it because, I mean, my younger sister, Kamaniki, she draws and designs characters.
Yeah. I totally forgot that she's actually your sister.
That's my sister, like IRL
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That was like one of the key... I think she hit me up initially and she's like, yo, my sister wants to interview. And I was like, what? She's your sister. That's crazy. So also, yo, shout out that we're all Canadians. I love that.
God bless
the Canadians.
We're West Coast Canadians.
Yo, West Coast. You already know. Yo, East Coasters. Ugh. Yo, Americans. Ugh.
I mean.
You guys live there? That's kind of cringe. I don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot.
But I mean, I do love visiting the States. I miss traveling and... Oh, that's tough.
Don't get me wrong. Well, I'll drop down across the border, you know, go to Oregon, no tax, do a little shopping there, and then get my ass right back up home. You know what I mean?
So say if like COVID restrictions kind of like lighten up, Would you ever consider like traveling to collaborate with other like YouTubers or streamers? Or more of an online thing?
Yeah, I mean, yo, B, are you in here? Should we say it? Should we say it, B?
Or was it a secret B text?
I do have something in I do have something in mind, like a fairly big project.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, ultimately, yeah, I definitely have thought about meeting people and doing like offline collabs. It's like the official VTuber term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Like I've always entertained that idea. I've always liked that. I've done one with Girl DM, who's mm-hmm. like one of the earliest you know, people that I've met in this community. And you right. know, we've done an offline collab. I think that was super fun. That was one of my most fun streams for myself and for chat that I've ever had. And I would definitely love to do more come through VIP. Only if you give me a place to sleep, VIP. Maybe then.
I can offer my closet for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yo, VIP, if you give me your closet, I'll take it. Yo, and just throw me a pillow or something. Maybe some shirts to, as a blanket.
You can hang with Tofu. Have you?
No, I.
There's James.
Yo, so cute. I want to get my boy in now, but he's like, he's upstairs chewing on some bones and stuff. I don't know what the hell he's doing half the time.
He's because it's thunderstorm season right now, so he's always hiding under my desk right now because he's scared.
Oh no, really? Yeah. He's just traumatized, huh?
I know. I'm like, I forget that he's there, so I step on him all the time now.
Okay. Oh god.
Just put my like cross my legs on the chair. Right.
Yo, you gotta stand up for yourself, man. What the
okay. Look at him. I know you want to go. You want to go? Okay, I'll let
you. He's going to get me out of here.
Okay, I'm going to just let him out the room. Hang on. Hey, there. He got buggy. He kept looking at me. I'm like, okay, just go. Not with those puppy eyes.
I know. My dog does that too. Like, every time, like, I usually grab him for... I have, like, another sort of, like, secret Twitch channel for some of my closer viewers. And then I always bring... my dog Coco in, and he's like cool for like a minute, and then he's like, "Yeah, I need a dip. I can't be in here for a minute longer." And
aww.
I gotta like exit him out of the room.
Aw, cute. Oh, hello, oh, Randy. Thanks boy. For joining. Okay. This is more of a interviewer kind of question. When you interview right, people on your Twitch, do you still interact with chat, or do you find it kind of distracting as an interviewer when you're trying to ask question? Like when someone pops by and say hi, you're like asking a question, you're like, oh hello, and then go back to your question. You know what I'm saying?
For the most part, if the question is relative to the topic at hand, if it's like admittedly, like it's a little hard balancing like people dropping in and out and, you know, being like, you know, you'll see some comments like, oh hey, how are you doing? And I can't acknowledge everybody because it takes away from the interview itself, I feel. Mm-hmm. But if like someone, I don't know, we're talking about like, I don't know why hentai like is the first thing that came to my mind. If we're talking about like hentai and someone brings up a point about hentai, then we'll like kind of delve into it. Or if it's like a funny subject, then maybe we'll kind of pick up on that. But I mean, as far like, yeah, that's pretty much the answer I'll give you there.
That's cool. So then what kind of audience watches your interview?
I feel like it's definitely a mix. Like, let me think about that for a second. For sure. I mean, obviously a lot of VTubers.
Mm-hmm.
I think a really big component of like interview streams is that someone gets on and then, you know, the friends kind of get excited for them. They're like, yeah. Oh, yo, my friend's going to be on the show. Let's, you know, get all our other friends and then kind of watch the interview together. I think that's like another fun element. So definitely a lot of VTubers and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, actually I would say that's like a really big part of my audience, and obviously just the VTuber community in general. I'm very like tied to that place, but also just like a lot of people who like VTubers. Like I have a lot of viewers that come into my other, you know, secret stream, and they'll be like, hey, like I enjoy watching for you more so than the interviewees.
Aww.
So I would say it's like a good healthy mix.
Mm-hmm. And do you have like kind of like demographics of like where they're based? Because I know that there's kind of different pockets of VTubers in different parts of the world, right?
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, first things first, what is up with the EN VTuber community and everybody being in LA? Like a third right? of everybody I meet is in LA. Like chances are, I swear, if you went to LA and you went to like a Walmart or some shit and you said like, oh, any VTubers in here, you'd probably get like a few head turns. Because
right?
there's so many VTubers that live in LA. Or like at least in like California region. What the fuck?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I see a couple of you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Right? So what do you think about the Canadian scene?
You know what? There's actually healthy. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of. I feel like you're kind of an exception, but otherwise, I feel like there's only two places where people, like VTubers, live in Canada. It's either Vancouver or Toronto.
Okay.
And yeah. Like, there's a lot of people in Vancouver. Like, I've met Charlotte Van Halen, who like some people in here might know. I met her this weekend and she's super, super cool. I've met some of a couple of my mods already. Actually, this weekend, I don't think I can say, but I plan to meet like another couple of VTubers. Mm. We're going to meet up for brunch. There's a lot of people. And don't even get me started with Toronto. Like, Toronto's probably triple the amount of VTubers that are in Vancouver. Like, there's a lot of people in the six. So I'm really surprised.
There's like basically no VTubers in Edmonton.
Yeah, honestly, basically. I've met like, I know, like, I don't want to dox anyone, but like, I know one person that's in Winnipeg. And I was like, yo, you're the only person ever, not even in this community, like in my life that lives in Winnipeg. I don't know anybody. Do you actually know anybody that lives in central
Saskatoon,
Canada?
Randy, if he's still on the stream, because he said hi earlier. He lives in
Saskatoon.
Yes.
What the heck? You might be the only person, like, I know one person from Winnipeg. Okay, one person from Saskatoon now. I don't know anybody from Manitoba. I don't know a single fucking soul. I literally don't know anybody from Manitoba.
Well, that's why Randy literally lives in my house, like, for a quarter of the year. He's my photographer, and he just lives in with me for, like, 2 months at a time.
Oh, gosh, because there's no one else. I guess there's, like, not too many people to collab with over there, huh?
Not really. It's the unfortunate part of my city. It's not as creator focused, like studios to rent. Like, there's tons of studios in Vancouver and Toronto. And here we have like two. So I have to be very creative, make my own sets and everything. So
yeah, for the most part, it's like a home stuff. Like, you have to really be at a creative peak to do what you're doing and also live in Edmonton, because it's like,
I know, we've shot practically difficult. Everywhere, like White Specs Photography here, he lives in Toronto and he lives with me, and we've shot everywhere, including my Gigi's bathtub.
Your boiler room.
Yeah, my sister's bathtub, shot there, and we've shot everywhere.
Wait, what the hell? Wait, I'm curious, what were you cosplaying
on
as
her bed?
When you were in the boiler room?
The boiler room? Resident Evil. Jill,
oh, you know
Valentine?
What? I get that, actually. That one makes sense.
And Ada Wong.
I was like, what could she possibly be cosplaying? What are some of your craziest cosplays? Or your more ambitious
shoot
ones,
locations,
I guess?
Or costumes?
I would say costumes.
I don't consider any. Back in the old days, I used to make armor, but not anymore. I'm not very good at crafting. It's like, if you're good at snowboarding, you're bad at skiing. But if you're good at sewing, you're bad at crafting. So it's just not really my cup of tea. So I mainly just sew.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? So, you know Ashley Oshley? I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she resides in Vancouver. And she's like a crazy like armor maker, but she loathes like sewing stuff. So it actually makes sense that you say that.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of crafters can't sew and sewers can't craft, vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't be good at everything, right?
Yeah, I'm actually very bad with, I guess, even my own industry. I don't browse any of my news feeds. So I don't really know who's out there unless they contact me. So then I guess, back to you, how do you know like who to interview? Like, do you like browse your news feed, or do you ask for friends' recommendations or your community to recommend you who to interview next? Or you just generally know because you watch these people on stream?
Admittedly, a little bit of everything. It's become really dynamic. Initially, it was a lot of recommendations. Like my very first interview, I didn't even realize that there were many VTubers that spoke English, and let alone a whole English community for VTubers, like the EN VTuber community. I didn't know that shit existed. So that was very, very new to me. So initially, it was just like putting a post and say like, hey, do you know VTubers? Who do you think would be good in the show? And then I would kind of sift through that, watch their streams for a little bit and see like, hey, I think this person has great energy, or I think we'd have great chemistry or something. And it was a lot of that. And like I said earlier, a lot of like recommendations from people who got interviewed. So after interviews, I'd be like, hey, who do you think would be good in the show? And it was like a lot of reaching out through there and then compiling a list. But now I feel like I know a really, really solid and healthy roster of VTubers. So I kind of like compile the list and see, you know, who might be good in this day, or kind of space them out and be like, okay, I think this person has really high energy, so I'll put them in an interview someone who's a little bit lower energy but has good chemistry next, or something like that. So I feel, you know, it's kind of just who I'm feeling it out for myself and who would be good on certain days, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you'll keep to English speaking VTubers just because of your audience base?
Well, I mean, I think it's just because of me. Like, I'm just I'm a fucking idiot and I don't know any other languages in English. Okay.
That's fair. That's fair. Have you thought about, I mean, like, oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, go on, go on.
Oh, I don't know if you interview like more international people sometimes. They sometimes can speak English too, right? Have you looked out into that community, or more mainly North American?
I mean, totally, like for sure, like the priority is English speaking, otherwise I can't communicate with them. But for sure, I've interviewed a lot of VTubers. Actually, one of my main priorities initially was like to have more of a global reach. Like I had a healthy mix of North Americans, Fuzuki Miki, who recently graduated, but was one of my earliest interviews. She lived in Japan and was she knew like 5 different languages. She was amazing.
Right.
I've interviewed people from all over the place, really. Like Brazil, like UK, Indonesia, Malaysia, like just a really solid, healthy mix of people. Yeah, Zen Lily, like, yeah, Indonesia, Malaysia. But yeah, just people all over the place. So, and tomorrow, actually, I'm interviewing Lena, and she resides in New Zealand. So kind of tick off another global part on my list.
That's so cool. You can tap into this global community. So how do you feel with this global community? Like, because I guess there was such a huge boom with the VTubers this past year because of COVID. What do you think will happen to this community when the world starts opening up and people aren't have to be quarantined at home anymore? What do you think will happen to this community?
Yeah, I think about that question all the time. And admittedly, I think we're going to see starting into the tail end of this year, where not only, you know, everybody gets double vaccines, but places start to open up, they can start seeing their friends and stuff. And, you know, obviously there's just less time staying indoors.
Mm-hmm.
If I am being completely honest, I feel like we're going to see a pretty big drop in viewerships for not even just VTubers, but like streamers and content creators in general. There's just going to be a large dip in comparison. People are craving to be with their friends. People are going to be back to work and not, you know,
at
for
home.
Me specifically, like I work for a video editing and marketing company. I've been working remotely for the past like year and a half or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
So, and going towards the tail end of this year, I already know I'm going to have to be going back to the office. So like, that's just less time for me to watch too. So
yeah.
under general conditions, for sure, we're going to see a drop in viewerships, a drop in interactivity. And honestly, I can even really predict, like, we're just going to have to see towards the tail end of this year how, you know, fan bases and viewerships and, you know, those kind of connections hold up.
Right. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, it's good right now because this is really one of the only ways for people to connect with other people is online. But I think, like, when things open up, like conventions and everything, going out and meeting people in real life. And you know how, like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but you know how, like, at conventions, they always have certain guests, like, you have your streamers, your cosplayers, your voice actors, etc. I wonder if they're ever going to invite VTuber guests, and if it's going to become more mainstream because there was such a huge growth in that, right?
Yeah, you mean like in physical conventions?
Yeah, I'm just thinking logistically that might be tough because they don't want people to see who they are in real life, but...
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about it. I think in the Ian community for sure, they're more... It's a little weird to talk about. I'm not like in a position to do any of that. But I mean, for one, an answer to that is you can always do like on screen kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, have a physical host on stage and then kind of do an interaction with a VTuber on like a larger screen. Like if I were to set something up at a convention, that's definitely something that I would do. But yeah, you know what? It is a little weird. Like there's this kind of gray area of, it's almost taboo to come out of your VTuber character or something, just because like traditionally it's like, if you're a VTuber, you're a VTuber. And for the most part, you kind of have to stick with it. So it kind of prevents people from,
crossing to the IRL.
Exactly. And yeah, kind of crossing that line. And I'm not one to say if that's like right or wrong, whatever, but that's just kind of, you know, one way to look at it. But on the other side, there are people like, you know, for example, like cosplayer / VTuber people, like you were explaining, like for yourself, if you ever became a VTuber, or like first people that come to mind are like Draculita and Peach2D, who are also cosplayers IRL, but have, you know, VTuber personas. Like, I think that is a really cool level of interactivity that you can't normally get if you're just a traditional VTuber that doesn't come out of their model. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was kind of wondering about that, because I know traditionally it's just through the respect of the culture, you shouldn't be showing your real self back and forth. That's why I was kind of humming and hawing if I should do that, because I do respect.
Yeah. I feel like we're kind of, over the next like year or so, it's like shaky grounds now, but I definitely feel like we'll see more people who do kind of cross a boundary, and that kind of like culture start to lose its, you know, traditional sense of like, oh, you can't break character, or you can't do this and that. Like, we already see plenty of that already. So I don't see that being not a possibility.
Yeah. Just reading the comment here. I'm not sure what they're doing at AX with V's Shoujo, but I mean like in person, but not in person. Like if I was a convention organizer and VTuber became super popular and people really want to see them as a guest, what I would do is I would set up some sort of TV screen and the person can hear the patron say something so they can interact with them, and they'll see them interact in the TV screen, but the person that is actually the VTuber behind the scenes can actually use their motion rig and speak to them public, but then they interact through the TV screen. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I think, I mean, we've seen something like that with I can't remember if I'm correct remembering this wrong, but I think it's Rin Asobi, who's like one of the first like VTubers who was able to speak English, and they had a collab with, I think it was like Noble Pause or something. And that level, like, it's weird. It's weird seeing that, like, someone in person in the same room as like a screen who like also has a VTuber in the screen. It's like, it's this weird, quirky, but like really, really interesting level of interaction. And I think we'll see something like that in AX probably. Like, I feel like there's for sure going to be an IRL host on like some sort of stage that will be broadcasted, and then we'll get interviews or, you know, kind of collabs with the Fee Shoujo girls. So like Big Ham, I think that's like one, you know, thing that we'll probably see.
Well, I think it depends on if there's a huge demand in the market for VTubers when conventions open up. It only makes sense for convention organizers to figure out how they can bring these guests. And maybe even though they can't bring them in, like, they fly them in or something, if they can get some sort of audio feedback so that they can do the autograph session with the patrons, and the person can be overseas on their own computer at home or whatever, they can still do that interaction with them, which I think would be a plus for conventions, right? So,
Yeah. And I think that's, like, kind of what conventions have been missing. Like, not like VTuber specifically, but like just that like further level of interaction. Because you do get like content creators and stuff, but they're not like necessarily anime associated. But like VTubers is like, you get to like talk and meet an anime girl or like whatever.
Yes, isn't exactly. That, like,
that's so fucking cool. You know what I mean? And I think that's like just another cool level of interaction.
Hello, Wolfness. Hello, Boon. Boone's from LA, so I really miss going to AX, being on AX.
Oh, LA. I mean, I haven't been. One of my, for sure, like the next AX that physically opens, I'm definitely going to, because I owe it to a lot of people to meet a lot of these people, like whether it's like viewers or just friends that I met online.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Do a meet and greet. That'll be fun.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yes. I got to meet some of these people. Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Have you thought about like they going to TwitchCon? Because I don't know if you're partnered, but like what they do is kind of meet there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I am partnered, but is that like a prerequisite to like to go there?
No. To have a booth for a meet and greet.
Oh, got you. It would be pretty cool. I feel, it's weird. Like, I feel like my community is like really niche. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a VTuber specifically, nor am I like, you know, part of like the streaming community as a whole.
Mm.
But I am part of the VTuber community. So it's like, I'm in a really like tight space. I don't really, it would be kind of weird to see myself at, you know, hosting a booth at TwitchCon, because then people go to the booth and be like, what the fuck does this guy even do? It's like kind of weird.
He's a dog. Animated dog.
Yeah, he's a dog. Is this guy a dog? Is this guy like, we can't really tell, so.
Yeah, yeah, like Jay.
Also, what's up, Jay?
Says, Jay, I don't know how to say his last name, but yeah, like, I think people just do meetups too. A lot of cosplayers do that too. They just do meetups with their fans at like AX and other
kinds. I think I would do that probably. Like I wouldn't host a booth or anything, but it would be definitely cool to just like at least meet everybody, so, and like just walk around and stuff. Yeah, so I think for sure, like I can definitely see myself doing that. I think actually I would like to do it now. That's even more, I feel more inclined to.
If COVID opens up, what are like the must go to conventions that you...
Oh, AX for sure. Mm-hmm. What are some? Oh, Anime North is like the really big one in Canada, right?
In Toronto, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's in Toronto. I thought that was in Edmonton or something. No,
that's Animathon. Been in Toronto? Yeah, Anime North is in Toronto. Animathon is in Edmonton. I used to be one of the directors for that, but I retired like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know? I forget because it's been so long. What's the one that they have in Vancouver?
Annie Revolution.
Annie Rev. Yeah. Have you ever been to one of those?
I have. Yeah.
Yo, I think those are like super super fun. Honestly, those are the only that's the only convention I've ever been to. So I'd like to go something that's like more bigger scale, like Anime North or AX. So for sure, those two, kind of random, but I would love to go to an E3. Like that's so cool.
Yes.
Go there and see the events live.
So. If you're into like video games, definitely go to PAX.
Yeah, there's a PAX West now, right? I remember there wasn't one for a bit.
Yeah, PAX West is in Seattle, so I've been to that, and then PAX South. I haven't been to the Texas.
I didn't realize there was a South. Really?
I believe there is a South one. I've only been to the West. Yeah, Anime North is like White Specs Photography. That's where he's from. It's quite boring.
Wait, is it really? Anime North? I mean, I've never been, so like I wouldn't be.
People call it the parking lot con because really? It's. You would just hang on the parking lot.
No way. What the fuck? Because like there's no panels, there's no events, just boring as fuck. Is that it?
It's like kind of more like a trade show, like a comic con.
Yeah.
So it's just like a huge convention center and just go shop there. There's some panel.
Did you say they host it in a mall?
No, in a convention hall.
Okay. Sorry. I was like, what? Like in the middle of startup, kind of weird, but okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
It's more of a shopping place. So
Yeah, if you want to go buy merch and stuff. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay, good looking out, guys. Maybe not Anime North. AX. I also, you know what I heard? I heard AX is like kind of like not worth it because the lines are ridiculously long and all this.
Depends what you do, because like, I actually don't go to any of the panels. I just hang out with friends, shop, and cosplay. So that's just me.
Yeah.
And I'm just meeting people. So I've never really attended panels before, except for the ones I host. But that's...
Yeah. Honestly, for the times I went to Anime Revo, for the most part, that's kind of me too. I think the only one, like, the only real big events that I really care for is the when they have, I forget what it's called, like cosplay contests and stuff.
The masquerade.
Yeah. Those two, I guess, but mainly the contest ones where like they showcase the best ones.
Yeah.
Those are always really cool. But for the most part, I don't really care too much. Like I know there's impromptu shows and stuff. And I mean, like that's not really my thing. For the most part, I just want to meet people, walk around, have a good time. And
yeah. Have you thought about like if you were to go to a convention like AX or something, you'd apply to host a panel?
Fuck yeah. Like if, I don't know if there's like a falling quota. Like I don't know if I like even reach that or whatever. Like you have to have X followers to like get a booth or something like that. But I think that would be
it's not like, based on followers. I've never applied for a panel at AX before, but I think it's based on the concept and popularity.
I don't know how I would incorporate. I think if anything, I would do a segment of like breaking immersion of VTubers and like bringing on VTubers that are okay showing their face and talking about their experiences of like doing that thing. So I think in that sense, I would probably do something. I don't know how interesting it would be. And I've never really hosted anything live. So but I would be super open to the idea.
What I think would be a lot more interesting is you actually have the VTubers that are live, but you have the screen so you can't see who they are. And then they would interact. Oh. You know how like there's that desk at the stage and then there's like chairs with the microphones kind of thing. Basically, you have like four of them and they would just talk to each other. And then maybe guests of the audience will ask questions for Q&A. They can all kind of answer and chime in. That would be fun, right?
Okay. So
something
like
that.
Yeah, like keep them anonymous, but like the feeling of them still being present is there. I like that. Yeah, actually, that's like a cool concept.
And then you'll be the host for it and you'll like, you know, ask them questions and, you know?
Yeah. One worry that like I've thought about this about like meeting AX and like other VTubers, and one thing that like was a worry was, oh, what if you know, for me, for example, like, oh, Domo talks to a lot of VTubers, and like if people who kind of like tag me or something or tag along recognize someone's voice. And they're talking to me, then it's all like a dead giveaway of like, oh, it might be this person, and it's a little doxy, right? So
yeah, that's another thing too.
Yeah, I mean that's totally an aside. Like, I still think the concept of the show that you're talking about is really cool. I think I would definitely do something like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. But yeah, I guess it depends on the person's privacy, and I think you have to let them know that there is a risk. If you hang around me, people might recognize your voice.
Yeah. So, they just have to be aware.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad, but yeah, I get it. But I think it's a pretty cool idea. Just live performances and entertainment is a completely different feel than online. It just feels so much more, you can feel the energy in the room. It's different, right? So
yeah. I think, yeah, definitely. I would love to try it. I honestly don't think I would do very well. Because like I still like get kind of nervous in front of bigger crowds if, you know, there's like singing or whatever that is. I think someone like you have a lot of experience there. You'd be able, you do execute really well. So were to do it, it would be really fucking lackluster. Like, Vicky, don't come to my show. Oh my God, I'd be so fucking embarrassed.
I'm going to call all my friends up, like, let's go watch his show. Make sure he screws up and record everything.
I'm going to see in the corner of my eye and I'm just going to like pass out or something. Like, I just won't breathe. I won't exhale.
Aw. I think it just comes with practice. It's just like streaming. Sometimes people get nervous even going live online.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe we'll see. We'll see, guys. We'll see. Who knows?
So then what do you find challenging when you're doing your interview? Like when you first started, were you like really nervous to talk online or to ask questions?
I think one challenge for me initially was just being flexible in terms of talking with different kinds of people. Like some people are really energetic. Some people like to keep to themselves. Some people don't like to joke around as much as other people. So you kind of have to like toy around with people's what's the word I'm looking for here? Like
personality,
I guess. Yeah. You kind of have to like, you know, play, you know, tread lightly and kind of like test the waters with everybody and kind of get a feel for them. And it's hard, especially if you haven't talked to them initially before.
Yeah.
So you have to almost adjust for that live and be like, oh, you know what? Maybe that joke didn't fly well. Let's lay off on those kind of jokes or something, or let's not ask this so-and-so question.
Mm-hmm.
I think one kind of hurdle that I'm tackling with right now is keeping the interviews fresh and asking different questions that I haven't asked before, because there's only so many things that differ from, you know, after like the 50th interview, and it's like, oh, you have a different model, or like, where are you from? And all that sorts of thing. But for the most part, the baseline is that everybody kind of streams the same way. So you have to find either like find different questions or, you know, different things about their personality that you can ask, and that kind of switch it up from your last interview, you know, because when you've done, and you know, I do have a template of questions to ask, and I can only change it up so much if I only know so much about a person. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
I
know someone that doesn't like have a lot of public info, or doesn't
disclose too much personal stuff.
Yeah. And it's difficult for me to break that shell or just keep the interview itself new. So that's one hurdle that I kind of, I'm struggling with right now. And, you know, it's a learning process as I go, I guess.
Do you spend a lot of time trying to like search your guest?
Yeah, for sure. Like for this Lena one that's coming up tomorrow, she's a really, really interesting person. She's multi-talented. She does like sculptures. She's been doing art for like 10 years. And that's a lot of, like, that's a huge backlog of information that I can look into. So I'm really excited for the one tomorrow. And that's like another, that's an example of like an interview that I really kind of hammered into and made sure that the questions really tailored to her. For sure. Like before I even ask someone to come on, I at least do some sort of background check and say like, oh, does this person do art, or what kind of talents do they have? How long have they been doing it? Leads to like what history that they've had.
So then what do you think is your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge. I think the biggest challenge is keeping it interesting for me. Going in towards, I want to say like March-ish and like leading into April, I took a fairly big break in terms of the interviews because they just weren't fun for me. And if like anything I'm doing, in like whether it's like even IRL work or streams, like if something's not fun for me, it's just hard for me to continue doing it. And I felt like, I don't know if it's because I got burnt out, I was doing too much at one time, or I've just been doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
But it's like creatively taxing. I felt like I didn't really have time to do something new. One thing that I did was hold a Valorant VTuber Invitational. And it was like really esports-esque and stuff, really fun. And that was something, that was like a larger project that I've done, and that was really fun for me. And it was a good excuse to like switch it up and do different graphics and do something completely out of my comfort zone. And it's something that I really needed at the time. And, you know, I'm glad I did it. And now, you know, going back to the interviews, I feel like, oh, that was a really good break. I was challenged to do something new. Now I can go back into my comfort zone and, you know, continue this kind of thing. So I think to answer your question, just keeping it fresh for myself and not getting too burnt out.
So do you find that it kind of takes up a lot of your time? Like, cause you work like a full-time job and have this on the side. Like, how do you juggle both?
Coffee? lots of coffee and some like, you know, sacrificing a little bit of sleep here and there. But I mean, I don't know, like my body and my brain just kind of does it on its own almost. provided that what I'm doing is still fun for me, hence, you know, why I was talking about burnout so much. It's like that portion where I felt like I wasn't really creatively driven, or if it wasn't fun for me, was really hard to continue doing those interviews and stuff. So now I really make sure, okay, don't do too much at a time, and make sure to do something different every now and again. And I think that's like probably advice for like any, or not advice, but like a guideline for any streamer is like just to do something really different. Cause like a streamer can only play, I don't know, like fucking Apex Legends, you know, 5 days a week or whatever for so long. Like everybody gets bored of the thing that they're doing constantly. So it's just kind of keeping tabs of when to switch things up and, you know, how to like just challenge yourself, I guess.
So what would you say would be your goal for this year?
So I do have one big project I'll talk about it in a second. I guess like just surface level though, I would love to have some like a certain guests on, like some Niji Sanji people that I've been talking to. I would love to have them on, and you know, just like bigger agency VTubers. That's always kind of been like almost a goalpost for me. And you know, it'd just be entertaining for my audience, I guess, to have those people on. But also, Something that I'm working towards right now, and I mentioned it before, I'm really, really, really fucking excited to work on this bigger scale VTuber project. Mm-hmm. And I've only talked about this once ever, and it was on Bao's Discord stage. So this is like, I haven't actually made the full announcement yet, and I will do this announcement next week on stream officially. So right now it's still under the wraps, but what I have in mind is I want to start filming a documentary movie / docuseries for VTubers and essentially how they incorporate VTubing into their life, because some people do it as a full-time job and some people do it as a part-time. Some people do it as a hobby. And I think it would be really cool to cover that. But really my main thing with this, what I'm doing is when people ask, what's a VTuber, whatever, and it clicked with one time what my friend found my stream incidentally during mid interview, and he was like, what the fuck even is, like, what are you even doing? And I was like, it was like just really hard to explain. And I realized that lots of people know what streaming is. It's like really mainstream and all that. Like it's a common thing. Even my parents know what streaming is. Like they know that I stream. They just don't know about like the VTubing aspect. I would love nothing more but to put people onto that and like just to introduce to them the concept of what VTubing is, because you can show them a clip of a VTubing stream and they might be like, okay, this is kind of weird for me and it's a little off-putting. I'm not sure if I fuck with this. Maybe I'll pass. But if you deliver that concept into a more digestible form, like a documentary that's more, traditional and it goes into someone's life and people realize, oh, there's actually a person behind this VTuber model or something. You know what? That's actually, it's not too far off of a concept. And I think I might actually would be interested in this. And I would love for that documentary to be the first video that people click on when they wonder, oh, what's a VTuber?
Kind of the concept there. Wow, it's so creative. Congratulations on your project.
Thank you.
Man, it's going to be a lot of work though. Like when you say documentary, it's basically like a movie film then, right? On this?
Yeah, like there's a lot of elements. I don't know if I want it to be in a movie format or a docu-series where it's episodic.
Yeah.
I'm still working out the logistics, but all in all, I start gathering all the resources, like the camera equipment, some manpower, putting aside time for that. Mm-hmm. I start all of that leading into July. Mm. I don't want to say who I'm filming first, but I start filming mid-July. And then the plan is I pitch it to people. I haven't really decided. Again, I'm still working out the logistic, guys, so like don't take what I say right now, for word. But I want to try like a crowdfunding kind of thing where everything that I'm working on right now will come out of my pocket, and that's totally fine. Like all the like the manpower, the camera gear, like everything, and that's totally cool. And I'll put out the pilot, and if people want to see more of that, I'll do some sort of crowdfunding or something and be like, hey, set milestones and kind of do more episodes as people fund it, and that kind of thing. I don't even know if I'll really do that portion of it yet, but I'll figure it out as I go.
So are you going to be traveling like to different cities to film these VTubers? That's what you're doing, right?
Ultimately, the idea is to do this globally. So right now, it will be limited to North America because traveling outside of the country is really fucking expensive, guys. Yeah. But the end goal is that I want to be able to visit people all over the world, like New Zealand, Brazil, Philippines, Korea, Japan, like all that. And there's so many VTubers across the world that I wouldn't have trouble finding people, that's for sure. Right. And I already have a list of interesting people that would tell a unique story. So, that's like thinking in the long run. But for now, I'm really gung-ho. So the plan just for now is, let's do this pilot episode. Let's film it. Let's present it to the world, and we'll kind of see where we go from there.
Honestly, I think you can actually apply for if you do like a pilot episode, you can actually apply with the Canadian National Board for funding for this project, and actually try to pitch it to Netflix and stuff like that too. That's that I was part of this project, a creator's documentary, and a crew from Vancouver flew out to do a documentary on me back in April. So it's quite similar. They kind of just they filmed a bunch of other stuff before they do like full time commercial work. But
yeah.
They came and they're actually flying all over the world because they picked, I think, a handful of creators in different fields. I'm a cosplayer. Oh, wow. There's like a someone that does more 18 plus type of modeling. And there's someone that does, oh, shoot, I don't know what the term is, but they walk on skyscrapers and stuff like that, like do the stunt stuff, right?
Oh, and, what is it, like free walking or something like that?
But they do like dangerous thing, like dangerous stunts and
yeah.
I forgot what it's called, but it's there's like, a word for those.
Tight roping or something? Oh,
yeah, it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, oh, shit. Oh my God. Some,
parkour, yeah, yeah.
That's, is it parkour?
Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just really bad with my terms, but yeah, so they kind of have, have like all these different people and they actually fly around to go and film them. I did my first segment in April and they followed me around for 5 days, like literally in my house and everything. And all my photo shoots that I did, all the projects I did, they were with me filming and they interviewed me, interviewed like my family members, like a reality TV show, basically.
That's awesome. Holy smokes.
Yeah. And then they would come back later this summer to film the second half. I've always been 4 months now and this is what happened. And then they kind of go jump around to like all the different creators and see what they do kind of thing.
Oh, that's really, really cool. Yeah. Holy smokes.
So
and you said that they're like Netflix approved or?
No, they're partnered with the Canadian National Film Board.
Yeah.
And for this pilot project, and if it goes well, they can try pitching it to Netflix, right? Because you know how Netflix, they have to have a certain amount of Canadian content on the Canadian Netflix.
Oh, so, I didn't even know that, actually.
Oh, they do.
There's a quota?
There's a quota. So like that's why if you log on to Netflix in different countries, the shows are different than because there's maybe like 100 shows on your network platform for Canada and 100 for US. Yeah. And 60 or 70% can be anything, but 40 or 30%, I don't know what the ratio is, has to be a Canadian content.
Wow, that's actually so interesting. I didn't realize that there was like... I didn't know that like channels or like platforms had that quota in place.
I think
that actually makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true for other countries, but it is for Canada. So they protect Canadian creators so that they can get their work out there too. Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense to me. Otherwise they would just like kind of vulture for American content and just have 100% American movies. So, I guess that actually really makes sense. Cause, you know, admittedly, the Canadian Netflix isn't the Canadianest. So, but that's because they can't get like a certain amount of American shows or movies because they have to keep that like ratio quota or, you know, however
exactly,
you describe it.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think that's exciting because you're doing this documentary. I'm like, oh, yeah, we just did it like 2 months ago. So I'm like,
yeah. That's super cool. I mean, I am no stranger to filming documentaries. And exactly as what you said, I've experienced like contacting the, so I worked with a filming company about a year and a half ago or like two years ago now. And we did a, we flew down to Manzanillo in Mexico and we did a documentary on like an orphanage there. And we did another documentary at the time as well. And we had like a whole crew there and stuff. And that was really fun. So I definitely am no stranger to, you know, film documentaries, editing, and the whole process. I remember at the time we were getting like Canadian grants too to film them, making sure that we were reimbursed for like all the equipment and like travel expenses and all that. And I, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I'm looking into camera equipment now, and it wasn't like my main priority, but I did make sure to get camera equipment that was Netflix approved because there are certain cameras that you can and can't use in a production that you want to pitch to Netflix.
Why?
So you can't just pick up like a random, well, I mean, like it would be too open to anybody to film like a really shitty,
like off their iPhone or something.
Documentary. Yeah. On their iPhone or on like a 10 year old DSLR kind of thing. So they want to make sure that there's some sort of level of
quality
that they can maintain. yeah so
okay, gotcha.
They do want to keep that, and I had it in like the back of my head to make sure that the camera gear that I'm getting is Netflix approved, and it is. So maybe that's something that we'll see. Maybe, I don't know, if the popularity and the backing is there, then that might be a thing that you'll see on Netflix. Who knows?
Honestly,
realistically, probably not.
Well, honestly, what I guess TV companies look for are two things. One, do you have your own funding or money or how much it's going to cost? And two, do you have eyeballs?
Yeah.
So if you have those two satisfied, it's really no reason for them to say no to you.
Yeah. Right? And I think that's like 100%. Wait, what was the first thing you said? Eyeballs and what?
Eyeballs and money.
Oh, money. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about the money, but well, I mean, like, when you mean money, I guess like production value of the show, right?
Because how people usually do is when they pitch, like you can have an amazing scriptwriter, you have your pitch deck and all the resources, and you kind of submit a proposal to them. It can be the most amazing thing. They approve it because they think the concept is good, right?
Yeah.
But maybe halfway through filming, they realize every episode is getting more and more expensive. They can't, you know, it doesn't balance the books. So they would sometimes cut shows off early. Because even though they have the eyeballs, but it costs too much, they will cut it. If it doesn't cost a lot and doesn't have eyeballs, like you kind of have to balance. Those are the two things to look for. If it costs too much because they have to fund you.
Yeah.
Or if it has eyeballs.
Yeah. I mean, I think the process for what I would do is I would probably complete do half of the series and then pitch it to Netflix and say like, hey, this is, you know, we've got some traction here, or the concept is really great. And I think that, you know, with your backing, we'd probably be able to up the production value and put out more episodes or whatever. And then, but I feel like I would definitely do a lot of episodes first before I start doing any pitching. That's the idea anyways.
How come? So, why do you think you want to do more episodes as opposed to like, say like pilot episodes?
Well, for the funding, that's the idea. Or for like, if I were to kickstart it or, you know, you, I would do the pilot episode first for sure. And, you know, all the money comes out of my pocket and, you know, that's cool. And then I would put it out on like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter and see, and then kind of crowdfund more episodes. But I think at that point, there wouldn't be enough eyeballs, as you said, for Netflix. Like, I think the series needs to gain some traction and some interest first and see like, if the concept can be fleshed out for like, let's say a 10 episode length or something. Like, can you make it interesting for 10 whole episodes interviewing 10 different people or something? Maybe, maybe not. And that's like something that you'd have to see, you know, more episodes in, I guess, and not just the pilot.
Yeah. And honestly, in the social media creative world, there's a lot of eyeballs already. So every person you interview can definitely bring their huge fan load of eyeballs over to get you your numbers, right? And data to show them that, hey, these are the fans for this, this, and this creator. And this is how many people backed my crowdfunding.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. And I think a key element, like on top of what you just said, is that VTubing is, albeit Japan has been doing it for like several, like five, six or whatever years, it's a fairly new and just flourishing Western concept. And I think because of that, if you pitch it to like some companies or whatever, they're going to be like, I've never heard of VTubing, virtual, like what's like, I know what streaming is. And
yeah,
you know, it's kind of this like gray, unfound territory that you can kind of play around with. So I think that's one reason on top for like, if I pitched it to, you know, a video company like Netflix or whatever, it's the concept is just interesting and new enough.
Very kind of new and innovative because it's really done yet.
Exactly, exactly. So it's cool that you have like the experience for that kind of like docu-filming stuff. So it's nice to befriend someone who has the experience and all that, you know?
I mean, I wasn't on the production side. I'm more on the being filmed guest side. But
But even then, you're a part of that project. So you kind of know what's going on still.
Yeah, so, which is really cool. It's really cool. So I'm just thankful that I somehow got into a little bit of like the TV kind of side of the world, because we're so used to just making content on ourselves and there's no production background.
Yeah.
So it's a different world. Definitely a huge different world.
Yeah. It's totally different side of things. Like more, there's just more loopholes you have to go through, I guess, is the big difference.
I get so excited when I talk about like creating projects and everything. Sorry, I just like start asking these questions about it.
I mean, I love it. I love the back and forth that we're having too. Like, I think just bigger production is like, you know, you're on a much bigger scale, but like the premise is that you and me are both content creators. So, but when we can talk about something that's a little more like high level or professional, it like, you know, you get kind of giddy. Like I'm really excited talking about it too. So
yeah, like ranting a little bit. Sorry guys, if you guys have questions about him, Domo-kun being a VTube interviewer, go ahead and ask. We're just rambling now about.
No, it's cool. Honestly, like, I'll be honest with you. I hinted at this project, like, I think a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
And like, I've been like dying to get it off my chest. Like, it's one more week until I announce the thing. Yeah. I have a particular stream that I'm going to announce it on, but I've been like, aside from the Discord stage that I kind of hint that I talked about it last week, I've been like craving to get it off my chest. So it's perfect that I could just say it here. Oh God. Aww,
thank you for sharing it here.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know like what, like the timeline you want, like your first episode to like drop? Like, are you thinking like half a year, a few months? What are you thinking?
My turnaround is going to be fairly quickly. So, I think the edit time is the only thing that I'm really worried about. If it's just a pilot, I think I'm probably looking at like an 8 to 15 minute pilot, depending on like how much we can flesh out my first interviewee.
Yeah.
And again, I'm still planning everything. Everything's still in planning stages. But as of right now, I actually just ordered a lot of the camera gear today, like literally like an hour before we interviewed. I was like calling people and I was like, hey, do you have this in store? Do you have this? How long does it take to ship this? So I've ordered a lot of the equipment already. And that's going to come in by the end of June estimated. Mm-hmm. I need to play around with some of the, like the new camera gear, like how I want to set up the lighting for my interviewee. Practice some B-roll. That's probably going to be a couple weeks. Yeah. And I've already talked to my first interviewee. We're probably going to start shooting mid-July, like July 19, 20-ish, something around there. And the edit time would probably be about a month. So I want to say I'm shooting to get the pilot out and everything by mid to end of August. That's kind of my goal there.
Wow. That's an aggressive timeline. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I'm pretty confident with this one because for one, I do have experience in this kind of documentary filmmaking field. But then also I'm really, really adamant about new projects. Like this thing is like all I've been thinking of for the past like a week or so. And when I set my goal to, you know, create something, I go at it really, really fast, maybe like at an unhealthy rate. So but I'm really confident in getting this out by the end of the summer, and I'm excited to get this out, and I'm excited to like show you guys that are in here right now.
Yes,
I'm excited for you to see it, Vicky, and hopefully you guys like it, and hopefully if you guys want more, then we'll figure something out there.
I'm so excited, just like get like the goosebumps just listening to this project. Oh my God, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad, and I'm really excited too. So I just can't wait to execute. I'm like, I'm craving like mid-July. I finally start on it, and you know, we're gonna get it together.
Mm-hmm. So like the people that you're actually interviewing as a VTuber, they're okay with showing their face as part of it, or you know what I'm saying?
So that's another element. I don't want to share too much about my first first pilot episode.
Yeah.
But obviously I've planned out more of this like more episodically, and I want to get a healthy mix of because obviously a majority of VTubers want to keep their anonymity, and that's totally cool, and I think that's something that something that can be fleshed out in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, there are people that are totally comfortable with showing their face. And I want to get definitely a mix of them too.
Right.
Maybe even more so for the people who want to show their face, just because it's easier to build a connection with someone in the show if you're able to see their face. It's a little bit harder, admittedly, if they remain anonymous. Of course, you still get the voice and everything, but there's just that, you know, that missing, not the missing layer, but it's just, it's even stronger of a connection if you can see someone, you know?
It's a human connection where you can actually like look to their eyes and feel what the...
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Like monkey see, monkey do. If we can see someone's emotions, we can connect a little bit stronger.
Oh, that's cool. Man, like, I can't wait to see this. Like, it's going to be like end of August. I'm like, okay, is your show ready? I want to watch it. Let's go, let's go.
I'll be one of the first that you hear from when this thing is done. You'll be the first to get it. So
I
one of the
love
first.
To see it. And I love to share it with everyone too. Oh my God, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really, like even just talking about it makes me really excited. But yeah, end of August, hopefully you guys will get something if I'm not a lazy piece of shit. And half of the time, that's the case. But well, I'll be shooting for it, guys.
You guys keep him accountable then, you know? Tell him to stop slacking off.
I want to make sure that if people fundraise money, they know what they're getting. I don't want them to like fundraise money and then see the first episode and be like, oh, you know what? That was a little bit lackluster. And I'm not sure if like, it was a good decision to back my money into that project. I want to make sure that people know what they're putting their money into and what they're supporting. And then, you know, we can go from there. So that's why I want to make sure that we get the pilot episode up off its feet first. I'm notorious in my community for leaking my own shit. Like I'm really good at keeping other people's secrets. I'm really bad at keeping my own secrets. And I like just can't help but share like little sneak peeks and previews and stuff.
You're just passionate about it. That's why you're just like, I want to post this now, but I got to wait till tomorrow. Yeah. No, I got to just post it now.
I'm just so excited for like people to like see new stuff and like, you know, get like people's reaction, I guess, is like a healthy part of it. So, but this one for sure, I'm going to do my best to keep it under wraps as much as possible and kind of like knock everybody off their feet when I give them the full project or at least the pilot.
You think it's going to be difficult to do what you're doing right now with like your interviews and everything, and you're working a full-time job and now you're adding in this huge project? Are you gonna find time to juggle everything?
I've kind of been preparing for this, so I definitely will reel back some streams and some like interviews and stuff. You probably won't see as much of me going into July and like into the beginning of August. You'll definitely see less of me as I work more on this project and then find time to balance, like, you know, work and stuff. I've learned my lesson before, and that's to not go too hard. And the result is just going to be me burnt out, and it's a lot of wasted time. And that's the last thing I want. So I'm going to make sure that I balance a healthy workload of everything. This project, regular streams, work, and yeah. But I think I have a lot of people to help me keep myself accountable, I guess.
Good. And maybe I'll poke you once in a while. Like, yo, you doing this? Don't slack off.
Vicky, I'm going to need you. Yo, Domo, how far are you done? Are you done this yet? Have you done this part? Make sure you do it today, right? I'm going to be like, okay, Vicky told me to.
No, playing
Sorry,
Valorant.
Guys, I can't play Valorant. Yeah, I can't play Valorant until I'm done. Fine.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm probably going to be ending off the stream pretty soon. Is there anything you want to share with our viewers right now? Any last minute words or a piece of advice you want to give them before you sign off?
Actually, real quick, that's like I mentioned it on Bao's Discord stage. The charity thing is one thing that I want to do before I start filming the interview. So for sure, guy, like that's going to be around the corner. Like before I start, if anybody's lost, I do like owe a lot of charity redeem stuff. From like a large charity that I did a little bit ago. And for sure, I'm going to finish those off before I even think about doing a Kickstarter or whatever, because that would be like fucked up if I did. So for sure, get those done. And then we can talk about, you know, attempting to do a Kickstarter. Aside from that, just, I guess, as like a general note, be careful, guys, of like burning yourself out or going too hard or something. I know it's like really fun to do something in the moment and you want to go like, you want to give it 110%, but that can backfire on you. So just make sure you're going at a healthy pace of whatever you're doing, honestly, whether it's like VTubing, streams, work, family. Holy shit, I really missed out on some like family time this year, yeah. and that was really bad of me. So that's something that I'm working towards, just getting more family time in. And yeah, I mean, I love everybody that's in the VTuber community. I love people. I love you guys for tuning into this and, you know, being interested in me, I guess. It's really flattering. Vicky, you're super awesome. Keep doing this thing because it's really dope. And it was super, super fun to get to chat with you. I'm interested in seeing like who else you have on in the future. And aside from that, that's pretty much it. Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really fun.
Thank you for doing this interview with me. So I hope you guys go check out Domo's channel and all of the interviews that he does with all of the VTubers, and watch out for his official announcement next week. Not this leaked yep. one on this channel.
Yeah. Next week, guys. Next week.
Thanks so much, guys. I'll see you.